The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Good morning. You may be seated. The first case on our calendar is 03804, Cleveland Municipal School District Board of Education versus and Royal Financing. Mr. Gorey.
Mr. Chief Justice, Justices, my name is James Gorey. I'm the attorney for the appellant in this case, Royal Financing. The issue in this appeal is whether or not the Cuyahoga County Board of Revision had jurisdiction to determine the true value of the property belonging to Royal Financing. It's an office building, old office building in downtown Cleveland, for tax years 97 and 98. The Board of Revision had continuing complaint before it for those 2 years, 97 and 98. Under 5715-19D and under this court's decision in inner city Catholic parishes in 1999 case. Since the Board of Revision had the continuing complaints before it, it by law had jurisdiction to determine the true value of the property for 97 and 98. That being the case, we shouldn't be here. The problem was that the Board of Tax Appeals focused on a document, a complaint, that Royal Financing filed in June of 2000. That complaint simply requested or sought the Board of Revision to have the Board of Revision exercise its jurisdiction, the continuing complaint jurisdiction, for 97 and 98. Instead of, and the Board of Revision exercised that jurisdiction, determined the true value of the property for those 2 years. Royal Financing was unsatisfied with that, and it filed an appeal with the BTA. Upon a motion to dismiss by the Board of Education, the BTA, in fact, reversed the Board of Revision, holding that it had no jurisdiction to determine value for 97 and 98. The BTA erred because it focused on the complaint, the document, the Royal Financing filed with the Board of Revision in June of 2000. In inner city Catholic parishes, this court instructed the BTA to look to and determine whether the Board of Revision had jurisdiction, not to pay attention to the document that the property owner files seeking to have the Board of Revision exercise that jurisdiction. In inner city Catholic parishes, the property owner simply wrote a letter to the Board of Revision saying, you've got a continuing complaint before you for a prior year, will you please decide it? The Board of Revision, that was Franklin County, properly decided the complaint and the appeal was taken to the BTA. The BTA focuses on the letter and says, well, the letter didn't qualify as a complaint under 5715-19. Therefore, the letter didn't invoke, properly and legally invoke, the jurisdiction of the Board of Revision. Well, that made no sense because the Board of Revision already had lawful jurisdiction to determine the value. This court said, look to the issue of jurisdiction, not to the document, the letter that the property owner wrote. The property owner could have picked up the phone and called the Board of Revision and said, hey, you've got a continuing complaint before you. Will you decide it? And the board would say, fine. If cases last a long time, boards of revision often don't realize that they have continuing complaints before them. So occasionally a property owner has to simply say to a BOR, you've got jurisdiction, decide it. Simple. The BTA held that the complaint, the document, the request that Royal Financing filed in June of 2000 was not a valid complaint. Well, since it wasn't a complaint at all, the issue of whether it was a valid complaint under 5715-19D doesn't arise. It's a non-issue. For that reason, we believe that the BTA erred. It did not comply with this court's instructions and the law that this court set out in inner-city Catholic parishes. There was a continuing complaint. There was lawful jurisdiction.
What is the effect of the auditor's reassessment at the beginning of the triennium, in your view?
That did not affect the issue of whether a continuing complaint existed under 571519 and under inner cities.
Does an auditor have authority to reassess property value if there is a continuing complaint, in your view?
In our opinion, the auditor has statutory and constitutional authority to reassess every 3 years the update to 6-year reappraisal. But a continuing complaint gives the property owner the right to contest that valuation.
Is that part of the continuing complaint that preceded the reevaluation by the auditor? Or does it require, in your judgment, a new filing by the property owner?
That exact issue was in what did arise in inner-city Catholic parishes, and this court said a continuing complaint carries over.
Really what the court said was you can't have a partial year evaluation, I think is what inner city stood for. So your view is that you wouldn't have to refile, that the earlier filed complaint would be a continuing evaluation and there would only be one value.
Our position is that's exactly, that is the purpose of 571519D, the continuing complaint provision. In inner city Catholic parishes, this court simply said you do not have to file a fresh complaint. We're not arguing that value carries forward. We're simply arguing that 571519D means exactly what it says. A continuing complaint exists, vests the Board of Revision with jurisdiction, and on occasion the property owner must request the board to exercise that jurisdiction, and whether it does it by letter.
If we were going to reconsider the rationale of inner city and the decision of inner city, what would be your strongest argument other than stare decisis urging us to continue the principle of inner city? Seems to me it may be a little inconsistent with the statute.
We believe that the continuing complaint provisions of 571519D are absolutely valid. This court said exactly what that statute said means in the inner city. In the inner city, this court also addressed the carryover value provisions. And there's a sentence in inner city where this court says the Franklin County Auditor should have carried the value forward across the reappraisal or update. We're not arguing that. We don't think values carry over across reappraisals or updates. And to that extent, we're not requesting that part of inner city be applied here. Whether this court determines values carry forward across reappraisals or updates is not an issue that we're concerned with in this case. What we are concerned with is solely the issue of the continuing complaint, which is a separate provision, 571519, and has separate legal validity, separate and apart from the carryover. So, Chief Justice, to answer your question, we believe the continuing complaint provisions of inner city are perfectly correct or accurate. But
your complaint was filed in 94, am I right?
That is correct, for tax year 94.
And the ultimate decision of the BTA came in 98.
That is correct.
So how many years of valuation do you think that decision covers?
The way it works and the way it worked was the county auditor carried forward for 94, 95, and 96 the value determined by the BTA for 94. That was proper. The auditor did not carry forward that value to 97, 98, 99. The auditor reduced the value, and whether the auditor can do that or not, we don't know, but the auditor did. But he did not reduce it to the carryover value.
Right.
And that caused a Royal Financing to request the Board of Revision to exercise its jurisdiction. It was the auditor that made that value change, not the Board of Revision. We couldn't have appealed from the auditor's decision because it wasn't a decision of the BOR. We believe the BTA just clearly and plainly erred in holding that the complaint filed by Royal Financing was a complaint that was subject to the requirements of 5715.19, which says you file a complaint with the Board of Revision. Royal Financing's complaint was simply a request, as I've said, to have the Board of Revision exercise its jurisdiction. It was not subject to the March 31st filing deadline in 5715.19 because it wasn't a complaint. The BTA erred in then focusing and concentrating on that complaint, that document, and not determining what was the only issue in the case. Did the Board of Revision have jurisdiction? I would thank this court.
I just ask you what your view is as to what the valuation of that property would be in 97 and 98 then.
There is in the record our appraisal report, independent full narrative report, where the appraiser had the opinion that the value of the property was $2,300,000.
Was what?
I'm sorry, $2,300,000 for tax year 1997. I had an appraisal done for 1997 because that was the issue before the Board of Revision.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorey.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Seed.
May it please the court, my name is David Seed, attorney for the Cleveland Board of Education. I think one key factor that Mr. Gorey did not mention is that the prior complaint for tax year 1994 was filed by the prior owner of the property, Citizens. Citizens filed a complaint that was settled through a stipulation at the Board of Tax Appeals in 1998. On March 6 of 2000, Citizens filed a complaint with the Board of Revision that is a part of the supplement provided to the court. The complaint filed by Mr. Gorey's client was filed in June of 2000, after the March 31st deadline and after Citizens had filed a complaint with the Board of Revision. So what Citizens had with the Board of Revision was a complaint filed in March of 2000, and, if you take his argument, a continuing complaint. Citizens continued to prosecute these complaints at the Board of Revision, and the Board of Revision issued a decision on February 1 of 2001. Thus, the problem I think that appellant has is that they're trying to seek relief that Citizens was seeking all along. They're trying to step in the shoes of Citizens' continuing complaint that Citizens as a legal entity was prosecuting all along. And there's no evidence in the record that Citizens' continuing complaint or filed complaint was assigned to Royal Financing. And thus, the wrong appeal has been taken to this court today. The Citizens case was taken to the Board of Tax Appeals, and the BTA's decision references the case numbers. Subsequently, that case was settled through a stipulation. In the appeal, Citizens did not seek a correction of the 1997 or 1998 valuations of the property. Addressing a comment I believe the Chief Justice mentioned, our concern with the inner city decision is that in inner city, the 1993 complaint was resolved in 1996, and this court allowed a complaint to be filed for tax year 1996. And in Justice Cook's concurring opinion, the court looked upon that a complaint could be filed through the year of determination, that being 1996. Here in this case, the continuing complaint or the action that's being sought is being pursued in 2000. Well beyond the 1998 time period, the year of determination. When Citizens settled the case in 1998, at that time, following a an update for tax year 1997, Citizens could have, at that time, sought relief or different valuations for tax years 1995, 6, or 7. Instead, they chose to stipulate the case and took the risk that the value that was stipulated for tax year 1994 would carry forward through, conceivably, 1998. In the briefs that were submitted by Mr. Gorey, they largely concede that the complaint that was filed with the Board of Revision in June of 2000 is a prohibited complaint. Essentially, what the Board of Tax Appeals focused on was that the complaint could not be filed in June of 2000 for tax year 1999, let alone 1997 or 1998. So we would ask, kindly request this court to affirm the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals.
How do you deal with the statement taken by your opposing counsel, Mr. Gorey, that it wasn't a complaint, it was just a letter asking him to rule?
We would respond that the wrong party, he is Royal Financing.
You don't think he has standing to do this?
What?
You don't think he has standing?
No, I think Citizens had the standing to seek the relief.
And Royal, as a lessee, didn't have standing.
Royal wasn't the lessee at the time they filed the complaint. They were the owner of the property. Citizens was pursuing its own complaint at the Board of Revision at the time Royal filed its complaint. So
did the decision that Citizens got in as a result of the settlement in 98 control the year 97?
I would argue that the auditor should have carried forward the value.
It's not an answer to the question. Did the settlement in 98 control the property valuation in 97? Because the complaint of Citizens was pending during the calendar
yes.
year 97.
Yes.
So that $2.65 million valuation is the valuation for the tax year 97.
The auditor should have adjusted the value to that to $2,650,000. What Royal Financing is seeking is not the $2,650,000 value. They're seeking a lower value of $2.3 million.
That's why I asked him. It's 2.3 is what he's suggesting.
I think neither counsel have an explanation as to why the Cuyahoga County Auditor partially reduced the value through their April 18th
I know, from
letter.
6.2 to 3.8.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me ask you this. Same question I ask you, your opponent is, does the county auditor have the ability to reassess property valuation, in your view, during the pendency of a complaint in a triennium year?
Yes, and they do.
And what's the effect of that? As in this case, from 6.2 to 3.8, what's the effect of the 3.8 valuation by the auditor if there's a continuing complaint pending before either the board or the Board of Tax Appeals?
Or the original 6.2 million value. If it's pending and there is a continuing complaint, then while the case is pending, that value that's agreed upon in the earlier years could carry forward through the year of determination, or?
According to InterCity.
Correct, or conceivably, a party could request different values depending on the circumstances that change over time during each of those years.
Let me ask you something then. Why would a party owner, property owner, not file a complaint and let it continue to pend in order to avoid what might be assessments by a county auditor in triennium years?
I suspect there was an error initially made by Citizens. They should have filed a complaint in 1997. That's the usual practice, even if there is a continuing complaint, because they're receiving tax bills or assessments.
Despite the ruling in InterCity.
The usual practice is complaints are filed following every three-year update.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I take it from your brief that you think we can distinguish InterCity rather than overrule it if we were to affirm.
Yes. The interpretation that appellant is asking you would be very broad. I mean, if no complaint had been filed even up to this date, the complaint conceivably could be continuing for a long period of time. And I think the goal, I'm trying to interpret from Justice Cook's comments, the goal of InterCity was, and the goal of 5715-19D, is that a taxpayer or a complainant does not need to file a complaint while the case is pending, but once the case is terminated, the continuing complaint is terminated also. There has to be some termination point. Thank you.
Thank you. Proceed. Mr. Gore, you've saved about a little over 4 minutes of your time.
I thank the court. Just a few matters. First of all, the issue of whether or not Royal Financing had standing is resolved by the language of 5715.19d. That language says if a complaint filed under this section for the current year is not determined by the board, revision, the complaint and any proceedings thereto shall be continued by the board as a valid complaint for any ensuing tax year. It's continuing complaint provisions. The next sentence says, in such case, the original complaint, shall continue in effect without further filing by the original taxpayer's assignee. We are the original taxpayer's assignee. Therefore, we took title is the correct word, to the 1994 complaint, which was a continuing complaint in 97 and 98. We also took title to the 1999 complaint that citizens filed. We were entitled to prosecute those complaints because we do step into their shoes. The 99 complaint that citizens filed would cut off any continuing complaint application. That's what this court said in the Cincinnati Board of Education complaint. The filing of a new complaint cuts off the continuing complaint. So we had 97, 98 continuing complaints. We had the 99 complaint, and the 99 was separated, and that valuation has already been determined. So we're not the wrong party, and we do indeed have standing. And successors in interest, purchasers of real property in every county in the state, step into the shoes of someone who has a prior owner who has a board of revision complaint pending. I don't think the BTA has ever challenged that. We do agree the auditor should have put the $2,650,000 on the property for 97 and 98. The auditor should have carried forward that value. Whether the auditor did or not, however, doesn't make any difference because we had a continuing complaint. There's nothing wrong with a continuing complaint. It merely vests the Board of Revision with jurisdiction to determine value. So you have to present an appraisal report, you have to hold a hearing, you have to argue your case, you have to carry your burden of proof. All the continuing complaint does is vest the board with jurisdiction to determine value. And that's all we're saying. We had for 97-98. I don't believe there's any possible way of distinguishing InterCity from this case. InterCity was a letter, didn't qualify as a complaint. The issue was whether or not the BTA should have applied the complaint provisions to the letter, and the answer was no. It's not a complaint. Don't worry about it. Focus on jurisdiction. In summary, we believe that the continuing complaint provisions of 5715.19 and the continuing complaint provisions of InterCity are perfectly correct, applicable to this case, and the Board of Revision had continuing jurisdiction to determine value, and the Board of Revision did, and we filed an appeal, and because the Board of Revision had jurisdiction, the BTA had jurisdiction as a matter of law, and I thank this court.
Thank you, Mr. Gorey. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.